Thanks for joining Get Geekish once again for a podcast. This week we are talking PlayStation.
And, you know, video games, they're near and dear to our hearts, and I know a lot of people play them, and nostalgia is something that we strive for. So
we're doing a little history lesson. We're talking PlayStations, when they started, where they came from, where they're going.
Yeah, and we're also going to throw in a lot of our memories.
Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to start it off with a sound that's going to take us all back. I can almost feel that analog stick in my hand.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Put the disc in, dust it off, let's go. Get Geekish back here again to stimulate the old neurons, right?
Stimulate neurons, that's what we're real good at doing.
I'm Derek.
I'm Bino, and thanks for joining us once again. Be sure to check us out on the socials at Get Geekish, you know, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter.
The tweets,
etc. You can play along with some of our discussions and see the other things that amuse us throughout the week. But this week we decided we're going to do a little bit of a history lesson on one of the gaming systems of our youth that's still around today.
I feel like we should have a flashback. But yeah, it's one of the powerhouses, PlayStation.
Yes.
It's been around for actually quite a while, longer than I actually thought. That's where research is fun.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that we are going to make it through this entire thing without going into any kind of console wars.
Oh, yeah, because
Sony's been a part of a lot of them along the ways, and you can go off all kinds of different deep, dark holes of opinions.
Here's the thing is we don't do console wars because we're gamers through and through.
They've all got their merits.
Yeah, and they've all got their problems.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Anyway.
But I would say the PlayStation was one of the first, I don't know how to say it, but that it came out when I was in high school, and it was the first one that became like a lifestyle almost.
Yeah. It's because, you know, it launched roughly around the same time as the 64. So it was like Sony saying, hey, look at us.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. The entire history of Sony from its get-go is pretty much trying to get revenge on Nintendo.
Revenge! But yeah, they were one of the, not one of the first ones to do discs. There was other systems out there, but I think they were one of the ones to make it popular.
And they were part of the
revolution
of making CDs, but making DVDs. Their technology was what spawned that whole embargo. But let's just get back into this because we're both kind of jazzed up because this is the first time we've done anything like a research project since college, probably. And when you don't get graded on it and you don't have to cite your sources, it makes it a lot more fun.
Our sources, the internet, Google.
Yes, yes. So we'll start off, the 1988 is back when PlayStation was conceived, if you will.
Got it. Yep.
It was a gleam in Sony Nintendo's eye.
It was 1980 something, and
what is this? The Goldbergs?
Yeah.
But it started off as Sony and Nintendo were working together to develop something called the Super Disc, which, let me know if this sounds familiar, was going to be a CD-ROM attachment that was going to be released as part of the Super Nintendo that Nintendo was working on at the time. Now, was there another company that had a CD attachment drive around those years? Hmm.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, not console wars, just funny that's the way it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But Sony and Nintendo parted their ways and made way for the PlayStation to be under the Sony umbrella without Nintendo. And here's where it gets a little bit dramatic, I guess you'd say.
It's a soap opera.
Yes, it kind of is. But they started research and development for the PlayStation in 1990, and it was headed by Sony engineer Ken Kataragi. Don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not, but Ken K, that's the guy. And apparently he was dubbed the father of the PlayStation. And I've read that on a couple websites, and I wonder if anybody actually called him that, or if that was like, hey, yeah, it's the father of the PlayStation. Something they called him behind his back. But anyway, so the group Sony, they unveiled at the Consumer Electronics Show in 1991. They announced, look, we're going to do this PlayStation thing. It's going to be amazing. It's going to use discs. It's going to use 3D graphics. And the very next day, Nintendo said, oh, remember we were working with Sony? Well, forget that. We are working with Philips now on our next generation cartridge consoles. So basically, Mr. Ken K from Sony was then tasked with, all right, you need to make your PlayStation do better than Nintendo could ever dream about doing. And he spent the next 4 years putting together just to spite Nintendo for them pulling the rug out under Sony.
Take that,
And he apparently did a pretty good job, because if you look at the merits that the PlayStation had when it first came out, Nintendo was probably crying themselves to sleep at night, because in its first month in release in Japan, 300,000 units sold. And then it was introduced to the U.S. at the E3 Expo in 1995. They pre-sold over 100,000 of them by their launch. Within a year, they'd sold 2 million units, and they reached 100 million units by the end of 2003. So in 9 years, they sold over 100 million Sony PlayStations.
I would love to just be a fly on the wall in the Nintendo conference room after that. And I mean, because, you know, this is where the console wars basically kind of began. I mean, yeah, there was Sega and Nintendo.
There was competition, but this was full on like, nope, screw you.
Yeah, this kind of spawned that whole thing. I mean, in the fact, you forgot to mention this, that there is, and I'm sure that somebody has these, and these have to be worth $1 million, if not more. There is only 200 models of the first PlayStation that could actually play Super Nintendo game cartridges that were manufactured by Sony.
Yes.
Can you imagine having that as a kid? You're like, I want to play a Super Nintendo game. Sweet. I want to play a PlayStation game. Sweet.
Yeah, the closest I came was having the Sega Genesis adapter that you could plug in to play old school Sega Master System games. I came to that.
I mean, now here's one of those segments. I feel like we have these every time. Kids these days have it easy because they have, you know, all the emulators and everything like that at their fingertips if they want. They can play any game from the classic era,
yeah,
if you will.
Back when our friend Davey came over, brought his laptop that was installed with ROMs. It had, 17,000 arcade games released between 1980 and 1998.
It had a plethora of stuff from...
It took all 4 minutes to install.
Yeah, it had everything ranging from Nintendo to the PlayStation, actually. So, I mean, it was awesome.
It was.
But back then, you wanted to play a game, you had to shell out money that your parents wouldn't give you. And we've talked about that before as well.
Well, you still have to do that now, but...
Yeah, that's true.
And now you have to do the DLC, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inflation made it seem like it was a little harder to chew when you had to go out and shell out $59.99 for Super Mario Brothers 3 or Spyro the Dragon or Crash Bandicoot, because I had to go back to PlayStation games because I went on a wrong tangent there.
Yeah, you did.
But now you do the same thing, and you get the Destiny Triple Gold Platinum Special Edition that comes with the DLC, and you're like, wow, this game's now $179.
Yep, our friend Chris can attest to that. But, I mean, well, also, Sony's doing a good thing now because they know everybody still loves that. I mean, I still have a whole bunch of PlayStation games. You know, PS1 is it's called now because there's now four different versions of PlayStation.
Well, remember, the PS1 is different than the PlayStation.
I know. I'm just saying, I did have one of those PS1s, though, that had the flip-up screen. That thing was awesome. Anyway, PlayStation games, Sony's doing it right because they're bringing back those games and remastering them at, they're $40 rather than the full retail price of $60, which is great. Mm-hmm. And yes, I bought Crash Bandicoot. I'm excited because Spyro's coming out, and it's all remastered, and it has all three games on there. So it also kind of makes my childhood hurt a little bit because all three games for the price of one,
Yeah, I had some solid memories of PlayStation games because one of the football games on there, the Game Day 99, me and my buddies used to play that nonstop. All you do is just run your running back around the left side, do that juke move until you pulled your hammy, and then gimped out and put somebody else in over and over and over again.
You know, these are the days before EA bought out the NFL franchise, so what about Blitz? I mean,
Blitz was amazing.
Wrestling meets football when you could sack somebody and then pile on the rest of the team.
And the commentary that went along with it, too.
Oh, man. It was over the top.
I feel like Blitz and NBA Jam are, like, iconic.
I feel like Blitz probably spawned the XFL. You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
It had a hand in that. But also, I was wrong. The Nintendo 64 came out, like, 2 years after the PlayStation, so.
Yeah, because the PlayStation came out in competition with the Super Nintendo.
So, okay, you remember PlayStation.
Of course.
You remember the big games, and I know you probably spent hours upon hours upon hours, just like everybody else, playing Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah, I have many, many hours into Final Fantasy VII.
See, I never played it. I tried. I couldn't get into it. But I always love the comparison of how many cartridges it would take for 64 to put that Final Fantasy game on there. So it's two discs for Final Fantasy VII. And I don't. It was like 20-something cartridges if Nintendo wanted to do that, which...
Yeah. The part that was hard about that game... When that game came out, I was going through all my chemo stuff, so I was home a lot, and I got to play my PlayStation all the time. So the first time through that game, I was trying to do everything. This is before I looked up any walkthroughs or anything like that, and I was doing it on my own and trying to explore every square inch of that game, and I got it up to 99 hours. Finally beat the end of it. Oh man, I got the crappy ending. Then I start looking through the walkthroughs, go through it again. I still got the same ending, and then come to find out that Sony rushed the stupid game and cut the actual ending out of it. Still torques me to this day.
I bet, you know, they're releasing the PlayStation Classic, which has games already downloaded onto it, which is one of them is Final Fantasy VII, so maybe they included it back on there.
Yeah, but is it going to be the Japanese import version that actually has the real ending that's not horrible?
Probably.
Aeris will live, dang it.
Spoiler alert, jeez.
I don't even know who Aeris is.
Oh, I know. I know, dude.
You never played it.
No, I played it. I know my Final Fantasy. I still researched it. I played Kingdom Hearts on the PS2. It has Final Fantasy characters, and I know what's going on with all that jazz. I remember when they first, a couple months ago when they announced the PlayStation Classic, and I told you, I was like, eh. Because the first initial games that they said that there was going to be on there, a couple racing games, Final Fantasy VII, I was like, eh. But then they kind of caught me with Cool Borders 2, which a friend of mine and I spent hours just on the demo playing that.
The PlayStation demo discs that came out, those were the greatest
things
on
Earth. The PlayStation Magazine was one of the greatest things ever to come out of print media, because they would send you demos for the games, which was amazing. But we logged tons of hours, in fact, and then it made me buy the game, which Cool Borders 2 is by far one of the, hands down, throwing this out there, best snowboarding game ever.
That was a pretty good one.
Metal Gear Solid's going to be on there, which I own like three copies of the original version. So might as well own it digitally on the PlayStation Classic.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one on there that I was just super stoked about. I don't remember. But
let's look up the list here.
You look up the list. But I mean, it's just one of those ones. These video game companies, Nintendo, Sony, they're catering to the crowd now that has money, that grew up playing these games, and the whole nostalgia level of, oh, I can download this and teach my kids how to play it, because I don't know if they're necessarily going to be remastered with the graphics. I think they're going to be right around the same as the PlayStation graphics.
They might fix a few of the glitches here and there.
Maybe. Well, because I know that at one time Sony was working on a remastered version for Final Fantasy VII to be on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, but they've been saying that for like 10 years.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay, I've got the list up here for you. We got Battle Arena to Shinden.
Yeah.
That was actually a fun game, though.
Yeah, but
The graphics were bad, but it was fun. Cool Borders 2,
yeah.
Destruction Derby, Final Fantasy VII, Grand Theft Auto.
So the original top-down one, I owned the copy of that. It has a parental advisory on it. I had to hide from that from my parents for a while.
Mm-hmm. What if they're listening?
Yeah, they listen.
Intelligent Cube, Jumpin' Flash.
Intelligent Cube was a fun game, if it's the one I'm thinking of. I remember there was a Cube game on the PlayStation. Again, it came out on the PlayStation demo disc. I never bought it because I always sucked at puzzle games, but I loved playing that demo because it was a long demo.
Mm-hmm.
Twisted Metal's on there, which is another great game.
We got Jumpin' Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, which I loved that game.
That's a great game.
That was like if Lemmings was made by Tim Burton. Rayman, which I didn't like so much. Yeah. The original Resident Evil. Revelations, Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, which was an interesting game.
Siphon Filter was I think, kind of started the whole stealth type of craze.
Mm. Tekken 3, Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, Wild Arms.
So, well, and Metal Gear Solid started the stealth craze, too. But, I mean, like, Twisted Metal, that was you could put that in and just...
Yeah, if you owned a PlayStation between 97 and 2000, a lot of those names probably jump out and strike a chord with you.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
The one thing I wish some of these would do is they keep putting out the classics, the NES Classic, the SNES Classic, the PlayStation Classic.
Make them able to download to other games?
Yeah, instead of just picking this list of games, why don't they have something similar to what you do, like an app store or an Amazon thing? And okay, you can buy your PlayStation Classic, it's $50, and then every game you want's $4.99 or $2.99, or I don't know how, maybe that's just the deals I have to make with the licensing form, but the ability to go get those games that you never got to play or that you remember playing, just...
Well, that's one thing that I've said from the very get-go when Nintendo came out with their Nintendo Classic. Like, I didn't buy into the hype because of the games on there. I was like, these are some good games, but there's only like, what, 20 of them, 30 of them? Nintendo has so many more great games.
And yeah, then the Nintendo, what's their catalog, like 400-500 games, 600 games?
No, and then the Super Nintendo Classic came out, which I bit the bullet on that because, you know, it had the unreleased Star Fox 2 on there and everything like that. But again, it would be nice to be able to download games, especially PlayStation. Like, there's some good ones on that list, I'll give it that, but there's so many other games that would be amazing to play that I didn't have to hook up my PS2 and dust off the PlayStation 1 games because the PS2 was, well... most of them were backwards compatible, which, I mean, yeah, you can go to the PlayStation Store on your PS4 and download some games like Parappa the Rapper. Like, how's that not on there? How is Kick,
Punch,
Punch,
kick, it's all in the mind.
If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find the things. How is that not on there?
I don't know.
That's, again, another demo I put the crap out of.
Yeah, there's some of those demo discs. I forgot we got those because every time I got it, then all of a sudden it was like you had new games, and... I don't know if it would fly with gamers today, but back then you played level one of Crash Bandicoot 300 or 400 times.
Oh, I mean, one of the huge ones for me was Ace Combat 2. That came on one of the demo discs. And, you know, it's just a level, but you could do so much stuff with it because it was in the city too. So you could fly the planes and try to, you know, do some tricks and go through the buildings and everything like that. And it was the same level. I don't know. I spent tons of hours on it. You raised your eyebrows. Did you find something interesting?
Well, I was looking at the games, and Nintendo has 679 North American licensed release games for the NES system and another 35 released in Europe and Asia. And the list of PlayStation games currently sits at 2,595.
That's just regular PlayStation? Or is that all of them?
I believe that's all of them. I'm looking at the dates here, but all the dates seem to coincide with just the first PlayStations, because these are all between 96 and 2001.
Holy schnockers.
And this is only A through L. There's an additional M through Z. There. So you're talking close to 5,000 PlayStation games that were...
I mean, I guess if you think about it, that's when developers were just pumping out games. And because, I mean, I remember I played Spawn on the PlayStation. That was the first game. So I was a dumb kid, and... I started out with an Atari, traded that in for a Sega Master System, which then I traded for a Genesis. You know, by traded, I mean like with my friends or trying to sell it or whatnot. I got rid of my Genesis for a PlayStation. I remember going down to, what's it called? It was called Game Factor. Oh, no, it was Game Force back
Game
in
Force,
the day.
Yeah,
Game
that's
Force
right.
In Greeley. Going to Game Force, getting a PlayStation, and buying Spawn. Because I liked the movie at the time. Granted, the movie sucks, but so does the game. So I remember I was so disappointed because that was the only game that I had.
Oh, ouch.
Until I got my PlayStation Magazine, which then I could try demos and just get stuck on the demos. And then, you know, I was able to, my grandma bought me Metal Gear Solid, which just ate my life away. That is one of the greatest games I've ever played, and I will stand by it. I tattooed it on my body. I love it so much. But, I mean, also, you had the light guns, too. Remember that? Like, with Point Blank? Where you could get the arcade shooter type going, like, with different little party games?
I never had the light shooter for PlayStation. I thought that, I only remember that the giant light bazooka that the Super NES had.
No, so on the PlayStation, you had Point Blank, Time Crisis. Time Crisis was fun to play at home because I didn't have to waste a whole bunch of quarters on it.
Oh, yeah, because you go to the arcade, you're like, oh, there's 30 seconds of my life for a dollar.
It's like, hey, you want to play? It's going to cost 6 quarters to get it started. If you die in about a minute, that's going to be another 4 quarters. But, I mean, you're bringing back nostalgia, man.
I know.
So many great games.
And PlayStation was also the start of a character that's very beloved in a different franchise today, but Spyro the Dragon, when that first came out.
That's still Sony.
But I know, it was still Sony, but now he's part of the Skylanders thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I think him being part of Skylanders helped get their game remastered.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
I think Crash Bandicoot being remastered helped that as well. Because, I mean, Sony had, their staple was Crash and Spyro.
See, that's where I think they were wrong. I know you liked Crash. I always thought Crash kind of sucked.
Oh, ouch.
I was not a Crash
but
fan.
But see, now Naughty Dog, the guys who made that game, were smart because when they did the remastered one, they did it on Sony first, and then now it's on Xbox and Nintendo.
Mm.
So they're like, eh, everybody can enjoy it, which I appreciate, but at the same time, I'm an elitist. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to play it on anything else, only Sony.
I remember having to get the cord extensions for your controller and the little memory card expansion thing to stick in the front.
God, the memory card.
How many hours of your life were lost when one of those things got unformatted?
What, dude, that was the one of the worst, I think. Because, I mean, you could buy different gigs of it, mm-hmm. which is kind of sad now because you go back and you're like...
Yeah, it wasn't gigs. It was different megs.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you could go back and get... You had to get like a 5 meg memory card, but my phone holds 64 gigs. So, you know, and those memory cards weren't cheap back then. But... when one of them became corrupted for whatever reason and you lost all your save data,
that sucked. You there's a reason there's a lot of angry teenagers.
I actually think maybe that's when third-party systems or third-party controllers and stuff kind of became popular because they were a little bit cheaper, because you could buy a Sony memory card for $40 or a Mad Catz one for $20.
Uh-huh.
Higher risk with Mad Catz, but sometimes you had to take that.
I was looking back at some of the comparisons because you're talking about the size of what discs needed to have for games. But look at the computer processors in PlayStations. PlayStation 1 had a 32-bit chip at 33.7 megahertz.
Dang.
Now, if you're into any computer speak, that's ridiculous. Like, your grandma's cell phone from 5 years ago had more computing power than the first PlayStation.
I mean, the fact that you can play some PS2 games on your phones now is just... you know.
And that's where I'm impressed, because you look back to some of these games and you look at the technology that's there, you look at the specs of some of these machines, you're like, how on earth were you able to make a 3D rendered video game on this? But then on the other side of the coin, you go back and look at some of the games and you're like, oh, that's why.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things too is, you know, we grew up with 8-bit pixels.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the PlayStation comes out and it has polygons and 3D rendering. You're like,
well, that was the first one. They were the first one to go for the 3D polygon mm-hmm. shapes, because they were debating whether we're going to go for the more of the regular animation pixel style, or we're going to try for this 3D polygon. And that was I don't think they would have done it had Nintendo not spurned them. Spurned?
Something like that. But I mean, I remember playing Tekken too. When that came out, Tekken, you're sitting there like, because Mortal Kombat, they would render in real characters-ish.
Yeah, kind of like the photocopying yeah. type of thing.
But with Tekken, it came out and they had the polygons and everything like that, and then the 3D moving camera, you're like, whoa! It's crazy. You know, Ridge Racer, I never got into it, but I remember everybody was so excited about Ridge Racer just because of it's a realistic driving racing game. And
if we're going to go down the history of the 3D game part of it, I'm going to come in and be another one of the odd ducks is when all of the 3D graphics came out.
Quack, quack.
I thought a lot of it was really cool. It was happening, but a lot of the 3D games, I was not a fan of. Like, even Tekken bothered the hell out of me.
Because of the way that they were, like, triangles?
Well, the triangles were not that good to begin with, but just the 3D rendering moving around, and they're making it 3D, but you go around the circles. I'm like, I just want my Street Fighter 2 style. Just give me a side scroll and make it happen. Because in my mind, a lot of the 3D motion in those early games was so terrible that it was hard to play.
True. I will give you that. I really got into Tekken and Tekken 2 and Tekken 3 when it actually kind of smoothed out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what the PlayStation Classic does with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially the fact that they can put that whole processing thing in a thing that's...
Oh, yeah. Like with the tech they have now, it should be no problem.
Yeah.
I also remember when your PlayStation 1 loaded up, there was a good 30 to 60 seconds of... And then just goes to this whole intro of loading stuff up and loading screens the PlayStation 1. Every time you passed a level in Spyro, it was like, well, let me go to the bathroom, make some nachos. I'll be back. I made a lot of nachos. Yeah.
Yep, that nice PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
16 seconds. I don't even know if they can hear it, but yeah, that's...
Sorry, I feel like that was like, you know, an addict putting a nicotine patch
right?
out for
the
first
time or something. Right, that's like when you smell something familiar, and it brings back memories. That sound right there, just I remember a couple times, you know, because I'd play at night. I had a TV in my room. I think every 90s kid did play at night, and my TV was too loud. I'm like, no, shh, because that thing's loud.
Yes, yes. And if you didn't know the volume of it, it would wake everyone in the house up.
Yep. Shh, be quiet.
And then so from the PlayStation 1, it moved on to the PlayStation 2.
Oh, man. So,
which to this day is one of my favorite consoles I've ever had.
I remember when the PlayStation 2 came out, I got that immediately. And then when they announced Grand Theft Auto 3 was coming out on that, and all the hype behind it, because there was a whole bunch of, and I think this was rumors started by kids in school, but how like, oh, this game's going to be so violent, they're going to pull it off the shelves right away, so you better hurry up and get a copy type of thing.
Video game violence.
So I was like, oh, I need to play this game. So I went out and I got it right away so I could secure my copy. But I mean, you know, they never pulled them off the shelves because that became one of the staples for the PlayStation was Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
But man, the PS2 was a powerhouse. Plus the fact that it was backwards compatible.
That was amazing because then all that money you spent on those PlayStation 1 games
mm-hmm.
did not go to waste, and you didn't buy a brand new system, convince your parents to let you spend $300 on a PlayStation 2, and then only get the one game that comes with the system.
Yeah, I think that's what helped me with the argument of being able to get the PlayStation 2 was the fact that I can still play the games that I currently have on this mm-hmm. while getting new games.
And one of the things that I got the version with the network adapter, this being one of the first consoles that you could actually play online with other people.
LAN parties.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't just LAN parties. I could do it online. I could...
Man, you were one of those rich kids that had fast enough internet for that?
Yeah.
That was a huge... So, I didn't have the internet. if I wanted to use the internet, I had to go to my grandma's house of all places. But, yeah, I was so jealous of people who were like, oh, yeah, I was playing this online. I'm like... Oh, what is that like?
Well, let's be honest, too, because I'm just a couple years older than you, so at this point, the PlayStation 2 came out in, what, 2000?
Something
Yeah,
like
so
that?
I was a sophomore in college when the PlayStation 2 came out.
Yeah, okay.
And it came out you know, about the time of the rise of broadband internet.
March 4th.
Being able to go on those games, I remember playing Madden 2002 for hours on end with random strangers online and getting it. Nothing has changed. When we make fun of chat rooms now, like Call of Duty kids making fun of it, nothing changed. Years ago, I remember getting bad mouthed by little kids or getting ripped apart by some guy that just spends the next half hour's life telling me how horrible I am.
Trolls around since the dawn of time.
And every time there was any kind of lobby and there was any kind of female voice, every boy in there tried to say, hey, want to play? Hey, do you want to play? Hey, ASL, hey, want to play?
ASL, jeez Louise. Well, and then, you know, I mean, that was a huge powerhouse. That was a staple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that kind of went around right when the Xbox first came out, which we can go in that in another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But that was staple, you know, that was Sony like going, look, we are a huge contender. You already love the PlayStation. Let's do the PlayStation 2.
And they actually upped it and made it bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. And then, fast forward 6 years, November 11th, 2006, Sony releases the PlayStation 3, which I didn't buy right away because that thing was super expensive.
It was like $400 or $500.
It was like $600. Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, I'll stick with my PlayStation 2 because, you know, that was just crazy. But I ended up getting it. Graphics were amazing. And then, of course, PlayStation 4 is out now, and now the PlayStation 4 Pro, which, I mean, they're doing so much with graphics nowadays.
Well, I honestly wonder if the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox Scorpio or whatever it's called. Or
Xbox One X,
If these are going to be some of the last consoles that are around. Because everything is moving not necessarily to computer gaming, but to cloud-based gaming. All you're going to have is something that you can access these games from. Because how much better is it going to be when you don't have to process all that information on your local console?
Yeah.
As soon as you've got a super high-speed internet, if you can devote 20 meg up and or download speed to your handheld device, you can play it on a server that's sitting somewhere else that's running much, much better hardware than you've ever dreamed of.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I know they're some games now are toying with the cross-platform compatibility, which is amazing because that's something I've always wished for. But I don't know. PlayStation, it's been rumored that they're going to announce PlayStation 5 soon.
I think there's still at least another generation of consoles before they can get... I think that next generation of broadband has to be in place before we can fully move on to cloud-based gaming. It's worthwhile.
Well, the thing that makes me mad is I want them to give a good amount of space in between them because, you know, I want some years, some money's worth out of playing the console before they announce the next one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, at least PlayStation 3 came out in November 2006.
They're not going to pull like an Apple with a new phone. Like, hey, here's a brand new phone. We've got another one coming out next month. And then in March, the new one. And the next year, we've got a really big event because there's going to be a really big one that comes out.
Exactly. That's just, it's one of those ones. At least they see, well, because they also got to continue to develop it and work on the technology too. So, I mean, basically the PlayStation 4 came out 7 years after the other one. Mm. So, it got some time. Got some time.
They do. And like I said, that when you go to the console wars and the cross-platform capabilities, there's certain people, like you've done it, you've literally gone out and bought a system because of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want to say that, I would never do that, but we do. If there's something you really want and it's only available on one platform, if it's really good, people will buy it.
To be honest, that's why I bought a PlayStation 3 is because Metal Gear Solid 4 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went out and dropped. At that time, the price went down to $400, but or $500, whatever. But that's why I got a PlayStation 3 was because of Metal Gear Solid 4. So I'm there.
And PlayStation at first had the huge run of the gamut because they had the free online service, which Xbox charged for, but then PlayStation charges for stuff now, right?
Yep.
So that's all kind of a wash as far as any, you know, who's better than that or whatever.
I think Nintendo's doing it right, though, on that eyes. But it's a little bit cheaper, and it makes more sense. That's something we can go in on another time, too. But yes.
This is Nintendo 13 years later. Now the ball's in our court, Sony. We'll see it, Ken K.
Father of PlayStation.
Prepare to be the... Yeah, there's something clever to go with that, but...
I feel like because of this, when the PlayStation Classic is released, we need to have, like, a gaming night where we relive our childhood and stay up way too late, but I don't know if our bodies can handle it anymore.
We can do it on, like, a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Saturday night going into Sunday morning.
Ooh, can we play Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
You want to bust out, like, the old... Okay.
I love that game so much.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll bust out the PlayStation and... The PlayStation 2, so we can do both.
You know, maybe we should just get ready for this, because I've got my PlayStation 2 downstairs with a stack of games.
Me too.
We just need to have a little PlayStation night and go, maybe that'll be a future one we'll do a video for.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I mean, there's so many games that I could, I mean, just hearing that sound sparked so many memories of just staying up way too late, getting the crap scared out of me by playing Nightmare Creatures. First game to scare me there, because I was sitting too close to the TV at like 1 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just stuff like that, you know, the good old two-player when the analog system came out and you're like, what are these little dealy buttons on the controller?
Why is it vibrating? I feel funny.
If you're gaming and you have some memories of the PlayStation, let us know.
Yeah, hopefully you learned a little something today, because I know I learned some stuff looking some of these little factoids up.
I didn't know it started with Nintendo.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Nintendo and Sony were pals, and Nintendo pulled the rug out and said, nope.
Thanks, Nintendo. You gave me a lot of memories because of that.
Sounds creepy when you say it like that. Anyway, we were PlayStation lovers. Wow, that sounds really bad. The PlayStation console. We loved the console.
Even the computer was trying to censor you on that one. It was like, be-do-do-do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right. We were PlayStation players.
Junkies.
Yeah.
And yeah. We learned a little about the history of PlayStation. Interested to see where the future of PlayStation will go and consoles in general.
And hopefully this history lesson wasn't too boring. We just wanted to give you some of the background and then talk about nostalgia.
If you made it this far, obviously you liked PlayStations or wanted to know more about them. So, hey, thanks for listening.
Or they just like us. Give yourself some credit.
Aww.
Anyway.
It's Beano and Derek. Get geekish.
We out.
We'll talk to you next week.